This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review. Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. With us today on the show are Frank and Mary Frost, producers of a new documentary about the Jesuit scientist Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. Mary Frost began her communications career as a reporter and Washington Bureau Chief for Tufte News Service. From there, she became a researcher and reporter for the Congressional Quarterly Weekly Report. Mary joined Frank Frost Productions in 1981. From then until now, she's acted as producer for FFP films, videos, and television programs, and her responsibilities include financial and logistical management, as well as proposal writing and script writing. She also directs crews on location. Frank Frost has headed Frank Frost Productions since 1980 after an eight-year stint as director of creative services for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Frank Frost Productions has reached more than 100 million viewers with more than 30 high-caliber national television productions over 30 years. Their documentaries have been seen on ABC, CBS, NBC, PBS, and the Hallmark Channel. Mary and Frank are parishioners of Holy Trinity in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the show, both of you. Glad to have you here.
Well, pleased to be here.
Thanks for asking us.
Teilhard, Visionary Scientist, is the name of the program, and it premieres soon on Maryland Public Television, and it'll be available for streaming on the free PBS app. This documentary took you 13 years to make, I understand. What inspired you to make the film, and what took so long?
That's really two different questions.
Okay, that's fine.
The first part is what inspired us to do it, and it was Teilhard himself, his vision, you know. He came to life in the 1960s to us as a hope-filled spirituality and that embraces the world, and it's a synthesis of science and faith. The reason it took so long, however, is because we had to raise the money for it, and so we made the film. We thought it'd be easy to raise the money. It turned out to take more time, and as we would shoot one piece, we'd need to raise money for the next piece, and it went on. There was a hidden blessing in that, because every time we had to pause, the film became enriched as we learned more. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I definitely.
Good. Well, Chardin was born in 1881, and he died in 1955. How did Teilhard become so interested in science, and eventually really in geology, paleontology, and evolution?
He grew up that way. He was born in Auvergne, which is a mountainous central part of France with many extinct volcanoes. And his father was a naturalist, an educated naturalist, who took him out walking all the time and looking at nature and stones and flowers and animals. And he just always had a love for it.
Yeah, you mentioned in the film, there's a part in the film where he even looks at his hair and it falls into the fireplace and he watches it burn and he realizes kind of how perishable all that is, and then looks at stones and looks at their permanence. Was it just a curious mind that drove him to this?
Well, you mentioned the scene about his hair burning up in the fire, and that's a key thing. That was kind of another dimension of him that start very, very young, which is a certain mysticism, kind of seeing into the earth in a special way. And he realized how many six-year-olds realize that they're going to die someday. And so that drove him to try to find something that would help him.
To be permanent.
To be permanent, right. So that particular dimension is very important in his life, and came from his mother as well. She was a very pious woman. So while his father taught him, kind of indoctrinated him or led him into discovering the realities of the earth, his mother was a very pious is not an adequate word. She's a very religious woman. and she gave him a deep love of Christ. So he had these early deep passionate impulses. He seems kind of a passionate person, I guess you'd say.
So Teilhard's travels took him to Asia, Africa, other places. Your filming of the documentary seems to have done the same. It's taken you to a lot of these different places. Where did you go to make the movie, and how was that experience?
Well, we didn't get to Africa, but we did go to China and to Europe, to England and France. He was born in France. He studied his Jesuit theology in England. It was a complicated number of trips because we were always trying to cram in as much as we could, given the amount of money that we had and the number of days that were available. But we got it done, and many people helped us along the way, including a woman in Hastings, England, who, because we needed to pinpoint when the low tides were during the day in a certain time period in May, and that we could not access timetables on the internet beyond a month or so. And she went down to the main dock in Hastings and got the little printed timetables for the year and mailed them to us so we could plan our trip.
Low tech versus high tech.
Exactly. And because if you're on that beach when the tide comes in, you're toast.
Yeah.
So it had to be only certain days of the month could you do that.
Awesome. Well, a couple of the themes in the documentary stuck out for me, and you alluded to this a few minutes ago. The program notes that Chardin loved Christ passionately and loved the universe. It also notes that the more he studied science, the more he was convinced there is a God. How did he address this oft-perceived conflict or tension, I guess, between faith and science?
Well, it really was, I think that was the, in the arc of our story, I think that is the primary dilemma that he had to solve. He had the intuitive belief and love of God. He had the intuitive love of the nature. But when he became a Jesuit, he was given training that told him to avoid the world, to shun the world, and that didn't fit right. And he had to struggle with that. And actually, it drove him, I think, is what drove him to a great deal of the unique discovery of evolution, of what evolution was about. So that particular conflict came from the inside. How he solved it was to discover that there really is only, that God is in everything, that there is, everything is sacred, and that there is no conflict between science and religion. At one point, he wrote that research, scientific research, is a form of adoration. That's how much he felt that the earth actually was another. I think we traditionally say that there's two kinds of scripture, the written scripture and the scripture of nature. Mm-hmm. And he was totally immersed in the scripture of nature.
That concept that God is in everything is a pretty Ignatian kind of part of the spirituality. We see it in that Jesuit kind of upbringing, that Jesuit milieu, as it were. But, you know, I think a lot of people have maybe heard of Peking Man, one of the most significant discoveries of a missing link in evolution of humans. I would be willing to bet that very few people know that a Catholic priest was an important part of that discovery. How did Teilhard end up in China working at that time and coming upon this incredible discovery?
What you're putting your finger on is something that we also discovered in the course of the making the film. Most people, when they hear about or know about Teilhard, know about him from famous inspiring quotes, or they know his books on spirituality, like The Divine Milieu. And that's what we thought, too, until we started doing the research to tell his life story, and discovered that he was very much a scientist, down the dirt scientist is what I say. And and from that, we knew that we would have to cover the scientific part of his life, most of which happened in China. That drove us to China. And when we got to China, the only thing we expected knew about China was that he had gone to the desert, in the Ordos Desert, and he'd written Mass on the World, another spiritual thing. But what we learned when we went to China, totally unexpected, one thing led to another, was that the Chinese revere J.R. even today as a founder of their paleontology, and he's deeply regarded. Of the four or five locations that we shot there, each one has a museum, and each museum features J.R. in a bust or a photograph or a life-size statue. He is just deeply revered in the scientific world, and we were not prepared for that. So that changed our approach to the making the film.
Well, now I appreciate that a little bit, because my wife and I were talking about as we watched it, and she said, "Why didn't I learn about any of this in school?" And I said, "Yeah, me either." And so now it's good to find out that you, who are Teilhard experts, didn't know about this before you got into it too either. So that helps me feel a little bit better about where we were on that. Good. Well, after the break, we're going to talk some more with Frank and Mary Frost about the new documentary about Jesuit scientist Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. It's called Teilhard, Visionary Scientist. It's going to be premiering soon on Maryland Public Television and the PBS app. This is Chris Gunty, and you're listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Archdiocese of Baltimore makes the protection of children a leading priority in its parishes, schools, and other ministries. The Archdiocese seeks to keep kids safe through training and background checks and by implementing a zero-tolerance policy for anyone credibly accused of abusing a child. For more information about the Archdiocese efforts to keep our children safe, please visit www.archbalt.org/accountability.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. The bishops of Maryland issued a statement May 8th objecting to a November 2024 ballot measure in which Marylanders will be asked to enshrine abortion into the state constitution. It is one of several states that will have similar measures on the ballot as voters go to the polls to elect a president, members of Congress, and local officials. Quote, "This is an important time for us to reiterate our commitment to the protection of all human life," the bishop said. "We oppose the Right to Reproductive Freedom Amendment as it contradicts the fundamental principles of respect for human dignity and the inherent right to life," end quote. The statement is signed by Archbishop William E. Laurie of Baltimore, Cardinal Wilton D. Gregory, Archbishop of Washington, and Bishop William Koenig of Wilmington, Delaware. All have members of their flock who live in Maryland. Together, they comprise the Maryland Catholic Conference. Quote, "Our opposition to this initiative is rooted in our unwavering concern for the well-being of women and children. Abortion not only ends the life of an innocent child, but also possesses significant risks to the physical, emotional, and spiritual health of women," end quote, the statement said. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Adding another distinguished medal to her already sizable collection, Katie Ledecky, the most decorated woman in swimming history, was honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom on May 3rd in a White House ceremony. A parishioner of the Church of Little Flower in Bethesda, Ledecky received the nation's highest civilian honor along with 18 other Americans. Ledecky, 27, is a 3-time U.S. Olympic swimmer, a 7-time Olympic gold medalist, a 21-time world champion, and a 16-time world record breaker in her sport. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. The U.S. fertility rate has slowed to a new record low, according to an analysis recently published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But experts said there does not appear to be any one policy that could reverse a complex trend. Experts who spoke with OSV News suggested that some policies growing in popularity, like paid parental leave and increasing child care options, might have other merits but aren't necessarily going to increase fertility rates if implemented. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. For Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. Visit mercyridge.com.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
We're back on Catholic Review Radio talking with Frank and Mary Frost about Teilhard, Visionary Scientist, a new documentary about Jesuit scientist Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, and it's premiering soon on Maryland Public Television. One of the things that came across pretty clearly in this was this whole concept of that he got into trouble, basically, with the Vatican and his order, the Jesuit order, about the concept of, well, if evolution is as he learned through paleontology, then we have a problem with the concept of original sin. And that whole idea that, you know, we talk about the biblical, you know, God created the world in 7 days, you know, 6 days, and then he rested. Well, how long is a day for God? So that's another whole question of, you know, a day for God could be, you know, several millennia, millions of millennia, if that. But why was that concept of original sin so hard to reconcile with the idea of human evolution?
I think, go ahead.
No, that's so
neither of you wants to take that. Okay,
that's my specialty. There's two parts to that. One is that 100 years ago, the Catholic Church was lagging a little behind the Protestant churches in terms of criticism of biblical criticism. And we still were very fundamentalist in reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. And so the part of the conflict that what you're referring to actually just comes from not knowing how to treat the Bible as a genre, and is not scientific. Mm-hmm. And so,
nor is it all completely literal.
Nor is it completely literal, right? So it's really a form of poetry, and there's a lot of truth in poetry, and a lot of truth, obviously, in the Bible. But so why is original sin such a problem? Because if you do look at the Bible as literal, and then you say that Adam and Eve didn't really exist, that they're really a poetic or mythological way of saying how human life emerged, then you're now running against everything the church has taught for many hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. And so it was taken by the people in charge as the other part of that dimension, I should say, is that at that time, the church, you're much too young to remember this, but the church at that time was really fixed on the eternal nature of the church. The eternal nature of doctrine. Nothing changed. We've been this way forever. But so along comes evolution, and it points out that the world has always been a dynamic process. It's always been in change. Mm-hmm. Not that these weren't Greek philosophers who didn't believe that back then. But as far as the church was concerned, I think people in responsibility positions, such as the general of the Jesuits, thought it was their job to make sure that nothing changed the doctrine of the church. And along comes this priest who he sees the Genesis, and he sees paleontology, and he says, I can reconcile those. I'll just write a paper about how that can happen. And he just gave an attempt at that. And that was enough to threaten the powers that wanted to keep control on that. So it took the church many more years before they actually changed. It wasn't until John Paul II that the evolution was actually recognized as more than a theory.
Mm-hmm. And yet you had a priest, a Catholic priest, Father Georges Lemaître, who was kind of the father of the Big Bang Theory. So, you know, there were people who were making these kinds of studies, Catholic priests, in fact, who were making studies about the universe and that, as we see. And since, you know, popes, at least since Pope Pius XII in his 1950 encyclical, Humanus Generis of the Human Race, have confirmed that there is no intrinsic conflict between Christianity and the theory of evolution, provided that Christians believe that God created all things, as you were saying, and that the individual soul is a direct creation by God, not the product of purely material forces. Popes since then have said similar things. You mentioned John Paul, Pope Francis had said some things. Does this in some way vindicate Chardin? And was some of this research actually even used by the popes in making these statements?
But you make a really good point to Lemaître, who formulated the concept, if not the words, the Big Bang, was a priest and ran into no buzzsaws at all because he never talked about religion. Teilhard's problem was that he couldn't refrain from talking about religion.
He was tying them together.
And so if you're binding those together, that's where the tension started.
Gotcha.
So that was that part of it.
Okay.
The other part of your question was, I forget.
Did some of his research eventually get used by popes to talk about this and put it in that context?
I would point out that Pope Benedict XVI, I think it was 2010, it was the year of the priest, actually wrote about Teilhard as being a model of the priesthood, basing that on his concept of the way he wrote the Mass on the World. The popes did come to adopt very strongly. And also Teilhard was somebody who kind of, he wasn't alone. The whole French church probably was like this, but they prefigured the Second Vatican Council and the document on the Church in the Modern World, which says we embrace the world, that we accept the joys and sufferings of the world. Mm-hmm. That's another reason why another way in which he was became to be accepted.
Right.
And I think we have to accept that back in those days, what he was saying was fairly scary and out there. I mean, he was a prophet, and at the same time as Teilhard was facing his exile to China from the Jesuits, we had the Scopes trial here in the United States. Wow. Over the very same issues of evolution. And you know, people were fearful of these ideas.
Okay, that makes sense. Makes sense from that perspective. Well, when I was in college seminary in the late 1970s, one of our dorms was named Chardin Hall. So it was named for this priest and scientist. So by that time, Teilhard and his scientific studies were pretty well reconciled with the church. But does this draw a parallel between him and somebody like Galileo, who was also chastised by the church and later acknowledged as being correct?
Well, ironically, Teilhard himself considered himself kind of a Galileo.
Mm-hmm.
He used that term. And the reason is kind of a very specific thing. Galileo was admonished and put in house arrest. But he acceded to the demands of the church that he take the position of the church. Teilhard did the same thing. He was told to sign six propositions that reinforced what had been done at an earlier council, and he did that. And he also did the same for the one problem that he had with that, which was the fact that there was only one Adam and one Eve, one Adam, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So he acceded to that, but then he wrote to his friend, but I can only sign this with the knowledge that someday it's going to change.
Uh-huh.
So he compared himself to Galileo. And so we call him a 20th century Galileo.
There you go. How can people watch this new documentary, Teilhard, Visionary Scientist, and where can they get more information about it?
Well, to watch it in the Baltimore, Washington region, go to Maryland Public Television on Sunday, May 19th at 4 o'clock, and it'll be broadcast. It's a two-hour show.
Set your DVR.
Right?
That's right.
And then the next day on the 20th, May 20th, it'll be available for streaming, national streaming all over the country on the PBS free app, which if you go to the Maryland Public Television website, they have a place where you can get information on how to download the app if you haven't already done so. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be streaming for 2 years on the app. So
that's awesome.
We're very excited about that, and we hope that lots of people tune in and learn about Teilhard. I always say he's the most famous person you never heard of.
There you go.
because he's just so such a wonderful figure, and a lot of people have never heard of him.
Certainly don't know the depth that this documentary goes into, that's for sure. What's your next project? Have you got something else underway?
Well, it's kind of a joke, but we're retirement, I think, is in our future. This took a lot longer than we expected,
I'll
but we're
bet.
happy that it's completed and we're very pleased with it.
That's good. Well, it's a wonderful project. It is 2 hours long, so sit through it or put it on the DVR and watch it at your leisure. We have been talking today with Frank and Mary Frost about Pierre Teilhard de Chardin and his work as a Jesuit priest and scientist. You can find more information about the film at teilhardproject.com. That's Teilhard project.com. Thank you both for being with us today.
Thank
Thanks very
you,
much.
Chris.
This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review, and you've been listening to Catholic Review Radio.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week, available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.